Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh, hi. Before we start the show, I got to talk about Omaha Steaks. They have a limited time Father's Day offer that dad is sure to love. When you go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code liberal in the search bar and save, oh, wait for this, 55%. So for just $79.99, your summer sizzle pack for dad will include 4 naturally lean top sirloin steaks, hand-carved and aged 21 days for tenderness and flavor. Oh my God, my mouth is watering. 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 gourmet jumbo franks and kielbasa sausages, a package of all beef meatballs, 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, and an Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet. Dad is going to get all this delicious food, plus a free pound of steak-cut bacon. This amazing gift is ready to be shipped straight to your dad's door in time for Father's Day for $79.99. These packages come flash-frozen, vacuum-sealed, and delivered in a cooler with dry ice safely to his door. All backed by Omaha Steaks' unconditional 100% money-back guarantee and the best customer service ever. It's a simple, delicious way to treat dad this Father's Day. And don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com and type the code LIBERAL in the search bar to order the summer sizzle pack for Father's Day today. That's omahasteaks.com and type liberal in the search bar. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Well, here's the thing, man. Whenever the cops gun down an innocent black man, they always say the same things, man. They always say the same thing. It's like, well, it's not most cops. It's just a few bad apples. It's just a few bad apples. Bad apple. That's a lovely name for murderer. It's like, how'd they get that one? Bad apple. That almost sounds nice. I mean, I've had a bad apple. It was tart, but it didn't choke me out. Here's the thing. I know it's hard being a cop. I know it's hard. I know that shit's dangerous. I know it is, okay? But some jobs can't have bad apples, okay? Some jobs, everybody gotta be good. Like pilots. You know? American Airlines can't be like, you know, most of our pilots like to land. We just got a few bad apples that like to crash in the mountains. Please bear with us.
Bob Zeska.
Bob Zeska. You really are sick.
The Bob Zeska Show.
Yeah, I've been quoting that one for a couple of weeks now. I thought I'd finally play it. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, June 16, 2020, and this is the Bob Zeska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Day 1,244 of the Trump crisis, 140 days into the 2020 presidential election. And, look, sitting right over there from Buzz Burbank News and Comment, it's my friend Buzz. Hi.
Oh, man. Chris Rock, amazing. Bob Zeska, amazing. Hi. It's good to be back. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. and we drink water with one hand. So Saturday, and I'm sure everybody's seen this by now, at the West Point commencement, Trump talked the talk, but was unable to either walk the walk or drink the drink.
What a mess. Got
a little work to do there. And the ramp, you know, walking down the ramp. Trump says that the ramp that he crept down, crawled down on Saturday, he said it was slippery.
Yeah.
And that's really funny because the ramp said the same thing about him. I'm surprised I'm here today. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I was up all night checking the history books just to make sure we really won the Civil War. I got a little fuzzy for a while, but I
was doing the same thing.
But I got really excited, really happy and excited after seeing the download numbers from last Tuesday's Bob Seska show. But as it was explained to me later, that's just because there's more testing. So it's all in how you read the numbers.
That's right.
You know, it's like I always say, Bob, you know, I've said this for a long time. I'm saying it again here today. Don't get happy.
Yeah. Here's Rocky Mountain Mike.
The long and slippery ramp that leads to ground floor will fill him full of fear. He's been scared of stairs before.
Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Hey, listen, I sensed that he was a little hurt that I had not watched his episode of Corona Kitchen. But
I know, me too.
But that I had watched every minute of yours.
Yeah.
So over the weekend, when I finally had time, I sat down and I put it up. I put it up on the big screen.
Yeah.
I slapped this. I don't have the beautiful home theater that you have that I'm envious of and have lazily tried to recreate in my own home. but and I admire that greatly. But I did get around and I watched it on the big screen every minute. I watched the entire show. And I was surprised because I saw what I expected to see when I watched yours, Bob. Mike actually cooked something.
Yeah, he did. I didn't cook a damn thing. I wasn't about to go down that road.
You are a cooking voyeur. You like to watch the cooking. Mike actually did it, and he has a baster, which I think is very impressive.
My entire job in that process of doing the Corona Kitchen with Debriana was just disruption. I just had to be disruptive.
This is why I said I was proud of you, because it was just nothing but wisecracks, you know? And that's really what I was hoping for. And I thought, you know, there's nothing, you know, I mean, it was all, everybody was having fun together.
Yeah.
But it added that bit of seasoning that I really was hoping for.
Well, there was one other thing that happened on last week's show. Speaking of things from last week, I wheeled out this new jingle for you. It's actually a DJ shout is what they call it. You actually found in your archives and you sent along to me. And
Mike Elston.
And that's it right there. It's just the guys yelling Mike Elston.
Mike Elston.
Which is your actual name, which is your real name.
And that hurt people too.
Yes, because, oh my God, my friend Aubrey Fletcher, who's a regular listener of the show, Aubrey. Patreon, and he informed me right after last Tuesday's show that whenever I played
Mike Elston,
it created a jump scare. It was a jump scare for him, like, oh my God, and it scared the shit out of him. It was going to appear out of nowhere and just
Mike Elston.
Aubrey, that means it's working.
And the funny thing is about it is that I can't stop laughing about the fact that that was a jump scare for someone. Not only because it is so ultimately innocuous, it's just
Mike Elston.
It's just your name being shouted by a couple of guys.
Well,
but at the same time,
we never meant to frighten them.
No, of course, that's never the intention. Yeah, but I mean, one of the other things is I find jump scares endlessly hilarious. And I'm not talking about the ones from movies. The ones in movies are staged and they're not nearly as funny because you know the people are acting. But the ones that I find hilarious are those ones where the people have to stare at this video and there's nothing happening in the video, and then suddenly out of nowhere,
Mike Elson,
there's like the face of the Exorcist girl and it scares and the people are falling over their chairs and they're screaming, and I find that so funny to watch, and I've
never noticed it before, but now that you put it in that light, describe it in that way, it does sound a bit demonic.
It does.
Kind of, Mike Elson.
It is a little bit low pitched, isn't it? Yeah.
That's a little. I would hope for something more cheerful. Well, I was young then and didn't know better.
Yeah. Well, even last night, as I was laying in bed and I was thinking about this, sometimes I do this where I think about the next day's show as I'm laying in bed. Right. You know, I got to mention this thing that happened to Aubrey Fletcher with the
Mike Elson
jump scare. And just the thought of it was making me laugh. And it's not you, Aubrey. I'm talking directly to a listener now. It's my perception of it. If I know that it's genuine, can spend all day on YouTube doing a deep dive into jump scare compilation videos.
Oh, dear.
And it never stops making me laugh. I just laugh and laugh and laugh. And there's something wrong with me. I've got a screw loose or something. I don't know why that is. Also, video of people falling down. It's also funny to me. And I know. I'm sorry. I'm sick. I'm twisted. I shouldn't do that.
The only healthy thing about that sort of diversion, Bob, is that it gets you out of politics for a while.
That's right. Because there's nothing hilarious about politics, of course, witnessed on this show every week. Let's see. Where do we start today? Donald Trump did a thing in the Rose Garden, another thing where he kind of sleptwalked. He was kind of napping through another teleprompter speech. He was signing an executive order, which, again, one of the things that drives me nuts about this president, one of the millions of things that drive me nuts about this president, is when he takes something that is innocuous and simple and ordinary, that things that presidents do all the time.
Nothing.
Things that presidents have done throughout history. And he treats all of that crap as if they're these gigantic Herculean achievements that required all kinds of exertion and effort.
Oh, man. He's exhausted, Bob. He's just exhausted.
Right. And that always happens with his executive orders. Just, look how proud I am of this thing that I signed that I didn't read.
He's writing so many of them. It's like we're writing on napkins at this point for him.
Yeah.
And there's so much to be undone. I mean, and there are think tanks that are focused right now on, which Trump executive orders and order reversals need to be undone and in what order, what are the priorities? Because the list is long.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of these, to use a word I hate, a big fat nothing burger. There's nothing, there's really nothing here. It falls far short of what the protesters are demanding.
Of course.
It's tone deaf to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's soft. As executive orders go, it's one of the softest, I think, that's ever been written.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he spouts off nonsense about how he supports, he expresses not only his support for the police, but espouses nonsense about an AIDS vaccine.
That's right.
While he's at it. I mean, the guy is just a train wreck. And, the polls are starting to show it. Were you going to talk about polls today?
Yeah, a little bit. In fact, I'm looking at a poll right here related to what the president presented today. You got the documents, right? You got the documents.
I brought mine. Yeah. I got the documents.
Got the documents, Bob. Hey, what do you got? What do you got by way of polls sitting there in front of you?
Well, this is overall stuff, and I didn't bother to write down the names of these polls. This is just kind of a summary of what's going on, but there's definitely a pattern here. Mm. Biden leads in Michigan by 12 to 16 points.
Jesus.
Biden leads in Florida by 10 points.
Oh, my God.
Biden trails in Florida by just 1 point, eroding Trump's 10-point lead of March.
Wow.
Biden's up by 9 in Wisconsin. Over Trump. Last week's national polls, as you remember, had Biden up between 6 and 14 points. It's a 10-point average, 10 to 11-point average nationally, and I'm eager to hear what you have because I'm sure it's more specific.
Well, not specific to the election. I did have some poll numbers based on police reform that I'm sitting here looking at, which, it's tangentially related because the president spoke about it today, but 82% of Americans support banning police from using chokeholds, 83% support banning racial profiling, 92% support requiring federal police to wear body cameras, 89% of Americans want to require police to give the people they stop their name, their badge number, reason for the stop, 91% support allowing independent investigations of police departments that show patterns of misconduct, 75% of Americans, including 60% of Republicans, support allowing victims of police misconduct to sue police departments for damages. That is gigantic. And on top of all of that, this was something that Tucker Carlson even did a chunk of his show about the other night.
Tucker Carlson's a chunk.
Well, he actually confessed something that probably didn't make Donald Trump smile. You know, Tucker Carlson's audience of one. Black Lives Matter is now more popular than the president of the United States.
COVID-19 is more popular than the president of the United States.
And it's not just a slight difference between the president and support for Black Lives Matter. It's a huge difference. Donald Trump is at about 42%-ish, give or take, depending on what polling average you look at. At the same time, Black Lives Matter is supported now by Americans by a rate of 65%. I think it's 64, 65%.
And how do we reconcile that contrast? I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week.
Yeah.
On one hand, Trump has these disproportionately high approval numbers, disproportionate when compared to the disapproval numbers for the handling of specific issues.
Yeah.
So how do you reconcile those two very different numbers? One number indicates he's popular, you know, reasonably popular, I guess, you know, 42%, he's never hit 50, but there's this huge support for him out there still. And on the other hand, you see 80, 90% of, as you indicated, even majorities of Republicans, but 80 to 90% of the American populace supporting these police reform changes with which Trump is completely out of tune and out of step.
I think in a lot of ways, when people are asked about these poll questions, I think what they tend to do is react to what the general zeitgeist is rather than what they themselves believe. So they figure, I'm being asked about Donald Trump's job performance on the economy. Well, people are saying he's not. I mean, the economy, I guess he's doing okay. Right. And so what they do is they don't react based on their own opinion. They're reacting based other people's opinions. Yeah,
that's it. We review these things as individuals. We review these issues and individuals separately. And I've contended, and I think I mentioned this before, that what accounts, I think, for Donald Trump's numbers being as high as they are is his popularity as a cult figure.
Yeah.
So I don't know that means they'll reelect him. If you elected Superman president and Superman did a shitty job as president, you might still be very fond of Superman, but not want him to run your country anymore.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And you know what? The spread right now, according to Real Clear Politics, based on Donald Trump's approval, disapproval right now, the spread there is holding steady. I mean, it's actually about minus 13%. And in fact, the last time his numbers were collapsing this hard was in late 2018 into early 2019, which was the height of the kids in cages. It was the height of Donald Trump locking up migrants in internment camps. And that was the outrage there, where his disapproval shot way up within a very short period of time between around December, mid-December on through mid-January. His disapproval just spikes on this chart. But and we're seeing the same trajectory now. Yeah.
But whereas that was temporary, to all my skeptical friends out there, whereas that was temporary, I think we can safely presume that things are different this time because the protests are not going away and the virus is not going away.
That's right.
And these are the issues that are dragging Trump down. His numbers are dropping. As indicated, I showed you, he dropped, 9 points in one poll to a 1-point lead over Biden, where he had a 10-point lead before. So we're seeing, I think, bigger drops And because we know the circumstances and the time that's left on the clock of this administration, I think we can rest assured, as miserable as these other issues are, that Trump's popularity will continue to deteriorate and lead to his inevitable defeat.
I hope that's the case, because I really believe that this could be Trump fatigue driving the polls down like
this. That's a lot of it. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
And I'm hoping it's the Trump fatigue and not just something that's specific to what we're going through right now.
Even if it were, what's happening right now isn't going away between now and the election.
Yeah.
So as terrible as that is for all of us, it also means he ain't coming back.
Well, he does have, again, here I'm going down this road where suddenly I'm the cup half empty in all of this
conversation. It's what we're here for, and that's your job anyway.
That's right. I'm concerned that he's going to pull some sort of trick and somehow revitalize his poll numbers, or, you know, I mean, all he really has to do is shut up. I mean, I think what's working against him, and this is counterintuitive, I mean, this is something that caught me by surprise, is that the more he talks now, the worse he does, which is the opposite of how things worked in 2016, where it was the more he spoke,
ding,
the higher
ding,
his numbers went.
Ding.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And you're not the first person I've heard espouse this view that the magic is worn off.
Yeah.
They finally see the carnival barker that he is. If they didn't see it before, they're seeing it. More people are seeing it in greater numbers now.
Yeah.
And it's the magic is not working. His TV reality show approach to things, it's gotten old. You know, we talked about his TV show, his daily TV show, getting old and being part of the erosion of his popularity. And I think that's been a factor, too. He's, as you've always said, Trump always makes things worse for Trump.
Yeah.
And that has been true overall, as well as in individual cases.
Yeah, and maybe something broke with a certain number of people. And we're not talking about, you know, the 30 to 40% who are just the diehard cultists. We're talking about the, I don't know what else you would call them, swing voters, whatever. Something snapped with them, I think, when this all fell apart. And I'm talking about Donald Trump's response to COVID-19. I think that incompetent response in the face of, now, what are we going? 120,000 dead Americans.
Cold-hearted and incompetent.
Yeah, yeah. And then the response on top of that to Black Lives Matter. Now, you talk about counterintuitive. There was all kinds of concern. Some of my Never Trump friends, including Tom Nichols, was concerned about how a resurgence in the Black Lives Matter movement would actually help Donald Trump. That has not happened. And I go back to Tucker Carlson's little poll numbers there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, where this is actually hurting Donald Trump. He seems out of touch with the rest of America, who has now gotten to that point where we're fed up. It was almost like after the Parkland High School shooting, when people are just like, okay, you know what? Enough is fucking enough with these guns.
This is it. And a lot of us thought that was it. That was going to be the change right there, and it didn't happen.
Right. Well, that is also true. But now there is more and more support. The support is becoming more metastasized into the ideas and thoughts of everyday Americans. And in fact, I think all of those times that he was on TV with his daily Trump show, where I was going, oh, holy shit, this is going to be awful. This is like he's doing his rallies again. He's on television across all the major broadcast networks, too, live. And I was so desperately concerned that was going to repeat what we saw in 2016. Well, again, as I said, it's not happening that way. And
the more he says, the more he hurts himself now.
And I really hope that has to do with Trump fatigue. People just getting sick and tired of the bullshit, you know?
And a certain wising up. I mean, I told you back toward the beginning of the Trump administration that it takes a long time for the general public to get on the right side of things sometimes.
Yeah, yeah,
that
really
that they tend to run as a whole behind the curve of what's happening, you know.
And
they resist that for as long as they can until they finally see it, and a lot of people thankfully, I believe, finally have.
It really baffles me are the people who just randomly swing back and forth between approve and disapprove. Those are the people who I'm confounded by. Like, what makes these people tick? Where one day they're like, fuck Donald Trump, and the day after that they're like, yeah, he's my president. I think this is great what he's doing.
Right.
I don't understand those people because it's so, it should be so clear. You either... Love the guy because he gives you confirmation bias and reflects your grievances and racism and all the rest of it. Or you hate the guy because of all those things, because of his grievances, because of his racism, because of his despotism and incompetence and all the rest of it.
Most people aren't that distinctive. It's shades of gray for most people. Uh-huh. They like some things he says and does. They dislike other things he says and does. Over time, the scales tip one way or another, and I think we're seeing the tipping now in the polls.
Yeah, and we're also seeing a tipping, I think, when it comes to the Supreme Court. I think, and
I
was having this conversation with Donna Halper the other day via DM, and she was observing that maybe John Roberts is just done with the Trump politicization of the Supreme Court. I think maybe John Roberts is fed up. We may even see some breakaway from Neil Gorsuch, although I don't think this is going to end up in a long-term trend with these guys. I think that just right now, they're making decisions based on, or at least partly influenced by, the fact that Donald Trump is injecting so much politics into the court itself and its decisions. And so perhaps that's why they sided the way they did on this decision that came down yesterday with regard to LGBT rights. And
yeah, an amazing majority vote and an amazing coalition.
Yeah,
in that voting. I think you're right. I think Robert sees himself as the adult in the room, especially with the presence of Kavanaugh, frankly, and to a large extent, Clarence Thomas.
Yeah,
I think because he knows these are off the deep end guys, that there needs to be a check and balance for that.
Yep.
And I think Robert sees himself as that, as the Chief Justice. Gorsuch is a hard read. This is not the first time Gorsuch has made a ruling favorable to progressives. It seems encouraging. It gives me a read. He's also made conservative rulings. It gives me a read that Gorsuch at least believes in his heart that he's ruling on the law. Are we vacuuming?
You know what? That's that's a leaf blower outside my window. You know what? That is about, I would say, a good 100 yards away from where I'm sitting right now. That's like a football field away. And it's
what the audience doesn't know is just today I don't have monitors for things like sound effects and those kinds of things. So the fact that I could hear that is really significant.
Did you think I was playing a wacky sound effect? Is that what you thought?
No. I thought perhaps someone was vacuuming. I thought perhaps...
I'm vacuuming, actually.
Thought perhaps the janitorial service had burst into the room.
Fuck this show. I'm just going to vacuum while Buzz is talking. Right?
Well, there's no, kill two birds with one stone, I say. I'm sorry. I've even forgotten what we were talking about. I couldn't resist the vacuum distraction.
I think we were talking about Neil Gorsuch and the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah. I think Gorsuch believes in his heart that he's ruling based on the law, and that's an encouraging sign. And I think Robert sees himself as the adult in the room. This is very good news, and I think that a majority of the justices has realized there's a kukula in the White House.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, the thing that, again, I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth by any stretch of the imagination but I look at the three dissenting votes, which is Kavanaugh, Alito, and, of course, Clarence Thomas. How do you look at Title VII of the Civil Rights Act and go, I don't think so. I don't think they get those rights. These people, they don't deserve all the rights as regular people. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Look at Kavanaugh's face. You know what a prick he is. Of course he's going to expect him to do the prick thing.
Yeah, well, okay.
Hey, as long as, my feeling is as long as we can keep them in that kind of a minority, they can stay as long as they want. As long as we just get to get, they can voice their side's opinion, we keep voting them down.
Yeah.
But I think it's very encouraging. And with Trump's tax cases coming up before the court soon, I think this is a very encouraging sign. I hope it is truly a prescient sign.
Yeah, and speaking of Clarence Thomas, I was just doing some math the other day and determined that within two, let's say Joe Biden wins this election, and let's say either Joe Biden wins re-election or Joe Biden's successor from the Democratic Party, whether it's his vice president or someone else, wins in 2024. At the end of that eight-year span, Clarence Thomas will be 80 years old. So I feel like, yeah, I know. But sometime within that eight-year span, I think Clarence, we will either lose Clarence Thomas to some sort of ailment or old age or whatever, or he will retire. And so that's the key. Clarence Thomas has now become the key to taking back the majority in the Supreme Court. And so, yeah, it really, really makes this election super duper important that, you know, I mean, again, we all have our little purity tests, don't we? But at the same time, you have to keep in mind the stakes of this thing and how it's a binary choice. Only Donald Trump or Joe Biden will win this election one way or another. It will not be your third party candidate. So
can I get you another piece of pie, Justice Thomas?
That's right. Do you like pork barbecue? I can make some. Okay. Well, let's talk about Plexiderm here. It seems like we're in a long line waiting to get on Debriana Mancini's Corona Kitchen show. And you know, I noticed when I was doing the show, when you do those video chats, when you get on Zoom or you get on FaceTime or something like that, you end up noticing all the weird things about your face. That's why I kind of was transfixed momentarily. I go, "Oh my God, I look like that." So, you know, if you're going through that process, you might want to pick up some Plexiderm because, of course, everything gets emphasized. Those bags under your eyes, the deep wrinkles, the fine lines, and so on. We're talking about Plexiderm, a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under-eye bags, all in the comfort of your own home. Plexiderm is the solution for Zoom meeting eyes. I took the test. I tried Plexiderm, and I was amazed by the results. In just 10 minutes, all the fine lines around my eyes were gone. And the best part is Plexiderm goes on clear and lasts for hours, so nobody's going to know that you're using it unless you tell them. Go to tryplexiderm.com. Use my code VOICES for half off a full-size bottle of Plexiderm, plus an additional $10 off. That's half off plus an extra $10 off. Or call 1-800-685-1292 and mention the code VOICES. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit triplexiderm.com. Use the code VOICES. That's code VOICES at triplexiderm.com.
The Bob Seska Show.
This is the great Dave Moulter, a song called "Oh Woman, Don't You Cry." A little bit of reggae here. Brand new single from Dave Moulter. You might remember his single "Mid-Century Man" was just like burning its way through the charts last year. It's a great song.
I'm eager to hear the playback of the show so I can tell you if I like it.
I know. So yeah, here's the thing with that. I am thinking about it. I have not taken a break since the holidays, a full-blown week off since the holidays. And as you can tell by the shows, obviously I can't get my sound effects to work or anything like that, or my sound effects soundboard computer. So I thought I need to take a week off. And I'll tell you why. Because I need to get all of my computers serviced or thrown out the window. One of those two things. In order to do that, I can't do the show while my computers are being serviced, obviously. So I'm thinking about that week of 4th of July, taking a week off of shows. I'm sorry in advance. I hope nothing tragic or awful or newsworthy happens. But of course, that'd be ridiculous.
Well, that's we call that Tuesday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, no, you. I think everybody agrees that you need the time off. I would hope everyone would agree. I need the time off. When did you say? Have you picked a date? Have you picked a week? Is it because the computer crashed? It's going to be next week. What is?
It's going to be It's going to be in 2 weeks. Yeah, it's going to be in two couple weeks. It'll be the 20th, the Monday, the 29th that week.
All right. We really should coordinate these things. What do you think? Do you think it's better if we take the same week off, or you take off 1 week and I take off the other week? That's probably better, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Then people have something to listen to.
That's right. And I've been resisting doing this because there's so much that's happening right now, especially with the pandemic and everything else, that I just was resistant to stepping away for that long. But it's come to the point where I have to get these computers fixed. I mean, now not only is my soundboard computer not working, but my microphone's not working. It's become a common refrain on the show recently that I got to spend an extra time after the show cobbling things together because of technical snafus. And so, enough is enough,
needs
right?
A tune-up. Your studio needs a tune-up. You need a new tune-up. You say the computer's been acting up, and it says the same thing about you. So.
Okay, so getting back to actual important things here. So Donald Trump downplayed the rise of new cases across the country of COVID-19, suggesting during a White House event for senior citizens that if the United States stopped testing right now, we'd have very few cases, if any.
F you.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, yes, sure it does.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. It means he doesn't want to test, so we don't know. So he doesn't know. He'd rather not know, and he'd rather we didn't know either.
Let's say there was no testing. Donald Trump thinks that
you're really going to go down this road, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to try to parse this bullshit.
All right.
So Donald Trump, let's say there is no test. We have no tests. There's no one trying to make a test. No one's getting tested. Donald Trump believes that if there was no testing, that there would be no coronavirus, that people wouldn't be getting the virus. But they would be getting the virus. See how that works?
Yeah, of course. But the number would go down to zero, and that's the important thing to him.
Wouldn't people still be going to the hospital and saying,
well, of course they would. This is a thing that's so dumb it doesn't justify, it doesn't warrant analysis, because it's absurd on its face. This is all about two things for Trump, and it's hard to tell which one's in first place. I have my own theory. He wants to open up the country. He wants to convince everything's fine. He wants to open the country so that the business numbers will come up, the economy will come up a little bit, and so he can claim credit for that. And also because he just wants to do his rallies again. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it's almost more wanting to get out and do the rallies again than it is about opening up business.
Again, it's probably at about the same level of importance to him. And speaking of his rallies, I wanted to mention this too. Do you have any idea where the Republican convention is going to take place, Buzz? Do you have any? Is it Jacksonville? Is it Charlotte? Which one is it?
Yeah, both.
It's both. It's going to take place in both cities.
The acceptance speech, I think the big speeches, including his acceptance speech, will be in Jacksonville, and that will be the main part of it. But they did keep part of it in Charlotte, and they did that. This is for like committee meetings and stuff like that. So it actually is actually probably going to infect both cities,
insane.
Jacksonville much more, because that's where that's going to be the hot ticket, because that's where Trump is speaking.
And I'm just thinking all of the pissed off delegates who made plane reservations for Charlotte, thinking that they were going to go to the full-blown convention in Charlotte.
Non-refundable.
Non-refundable. That's the key. Mm-hmm. And then they suddenly end up, it's going to be in Jacksonville. Okay, so let's cancel those reservations for Charlotte and eat the fees for the cancellations and so on. and make new reservations for Jacksonville. And who would have thought that it would change again? So I'm not going to pay the extra money to make the ticket refundable. So I've got another non-refundable ticket to Jacksonville. And then suddenly we hear, oh, well, it's not in Jacksonville. The RNC has voted to do it in Charlotte. And then we hear right after that that it's that Trump is going to be delivering his acceptance speech and everything in Jacksonville.
Right, right.
So yeah. I wonder how many delegates, how many attendees had to cancel multiple reservations and eat multiple cancellation fees in this
place. And how many who do go to Charlotte won't get to go to Jacksonville, and how many who go to Jacksonville won't be going to Charlotte.
Right.
And I think the Charlotte folks will feel more cheated. I think they want to be there for Trump's big acceptance speech. But they're there. I don't understand all of the machinations, but it's mostly committee meetings, platform stuff, which, as I understand it, isn't going to change at all. It's usually just something that goes on under the same umbrella as the acceptance speech and everything. This year, it got part of it, most of it, the biggest part of it got dragged to Florida.
And by the way, speaking of the election and everything that's going on at conventions, we have the final six in the Veep stakes for Joe Biden's running mate.
Oh, really? And I heard it was down to three, so this will be interesting.
Well, is it down to three? Is it?
Well, I mean, by one account. I mean, different people make different lists, and it's all just conjecture anyway.
Yeah.
But I had seen a list that narrowed to three. Let's start with the six and see who makes the cut.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so according to the AP the other day, they were reporting the final six as Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, Congresswoman Val Demings from Florida, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham from New Mexico, Kamala Harris, of course, former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, and Elizabeth Warren. That would be the... Uh-huh. Six possibilities.
Yeah.
And well, I know some names here that are not going to make the cut, I don't think.
Oh, tell me which ones you think won't make the cut, and I'll check if I agree.
Okay. All right. So I don't think Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms is going to make the cut.
No, not well known enough, and what little exposure she's had might be unfavorable with a large segment of voters.
But that's right.
Not experienced enough, not well-known enough.
I don't think Michelle Lujan Grisham will make the cut either from New Mexico.
Also agreed.
And definitely not Susan Rice, because Susan Rice such an immense lightning rod. She's immensely smart, immensely competent. She'd make a great vice president. But in terms of the perception from Republicans, I think that might drive away some Republican votes who will cross over to support Joe Biden normally.
Republicans have whipped some of that Hillary Clinton mojo on her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm sitting right now looking at Val Demings, Kamala Harris, and Elizabeth Warren heavily leaning in the direction of either Harris or Demings. And the more I think about...
Ding, ding, ding.
The more I think about Val Demings, the more I think, you know what? She could do it. She could be the one.
Yeah.
Because she puts Florida in play, which it already was. I think she adds more oomph behind Joe Biden's chances in Florida.
You know, I think Kamala is very well liked. I think Val Demings certainly, we came to know her much better during the impeachment proceedings.
That's another big deal.
And learned really we're dealing with somebody pretty significant there. I'm thinking now, because I'd almost like to see Kamala be the attorney general, that maybe Demings would be, because she's in the South, she's black, she's female, she's well known enough. She could be a good running mate for Biden with Kamala Harris as attorney general to be. I think it would be a very good mix. As I understand it, it's really Kamala who's in the lead. But she, too, can be a bit polarizing, a bit divisive. So it really could be either one of them. But I think we've narrowed it down to the right two.
Yeah, yeah. And with Val Demings, I think you have someone who has already legally prosecuted Donald Trump.
She has a softer edge to her. In other words, she speaks powerfully.
Yeah.
But it doesn't put people on edge, conservatives especially, as much as Kamala Harris does.
And I would caution against thinking that Kamala Harris would then otherwise be plunked into the Justice Department. I think it was in 2014 Kamala Harris said that she had no interest in becoming Attorney General. So
She didn't have Donald Trump to prosecute back.
Oh, that is also true. That is also very true. But I think realistically, I think there's a long queue of U.S. attorneys who are lined up for that AG job. And I'm not sure if Kamala Harris is even being considered for that. So.
Well, how do you think they feel about Bill Barr? I don't know. I think one of the functions of the Attorney General, as I see it, is not just to run the Justice Department, but also as a voice. I liked that Eric Holder was a voice who spoke for justice and equality as Attorney General. And I can't think of anybody better suited to do that again, and maybe even better than Eric, than Kamala Harris. So I still hope for that. Sorry about the people who thought they were in line for the job, but and I'm certainly willing to get to know them. But because of her ferocity with the Trump administration and her experience as a prosecutor, and because of her eloquence, I would favor Kamala as Attorney General.
Oh, yeah. And I could totally see her in that role. I'm just saying that we probably shouldn't count on the fact that if Kamala Harris doesn't become Biden's vice presidential running mate, that she'll then become Attorney General.
We'll put the squeeze on him, Bob. That's what we'll do. We'll put the squeeze on Biden. That's how we'll fix that.
Well, meanwhile, on the other side of the ledger, over at the Death Star, Trump's advisors are urging him to fire campaign manager Brad Parscale, saying that he lacks the political instincts needed to lead the team to a second term in the White House. People within his inner circle continue to question Brad's ability to bring the campaign down the home stretch because of his inexperience. Remember that Brad Parscale started out with the Trump campaign in 2016. As their merch guy. He was the guy who sold T-shirts on the internet. Like, it's some big struggle to be able to put together an online store in 2016 or 2020, for that matter. So that kind of gives you an impression of where this guy's coming from experience-wise. And the other thing about Brad Parscale, and this is pure concern trolling, I swear to God. The other thing about him is Donald Trump's poll numbers have taken a gigantic shit. Especially since the day, remember, I don't know, it was maybe a month or two ago when Brad Parscale tweeted a picture of the Death Star and said that today we're launching the Death Star, and here we go, we're going to be firing our first laser at whatever. And since that day, I think Donald Trump has dropped 7 to 10 points in the polls. Good job, Brad. You've done really, really well for yourself. But people are seeing that. Republicans are seeing that and going, hey, maybe this isn't the guy.
And they're all fools because, again, it's simply Trump's handling of everything, in particular the coronavirus crisis and the issue of Black Lives Matter and police brutality.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know what? Let's take one last break here and come back and talk a little bit about coronavirus. And, oh, man, there's some news on the Russia-Ukraine impeachment front that I want to talk about. We'll get into that and more right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska!
is another band from Athens, Georgia. One of David Ferguson, T-Rex's circle of band friends. It's a band called Feather Train and a song called Pale Sand. Link in the description. It's really interesting, unusual stuff, hard-edged. Yeah, really great. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit your songs to play here in the show. We'll give all this stuff another play at the Indie Music Countdown at the end of the month. Can't wait for that.
I not only get to hear the entire song, I'll get to hear the song. So that'll be
yeah, good. I know.
I have no idea what we just played, but I look forward to hearing it.
And
remember, in this announcement, if you have a song idea for Rocky Mountain Mike, just to mail it. Put it on a postcard or envelope and send it to Rocky Mountain Mike, North Pole. And it'll get right.
That's right.
It'll get right to him.
Yes, Rocky Mountain Mike loves him some requests. Okay.
There you go. You have the address.
So let's see what else is happening here today. So the FDA is no longer going to authorize the emergency use of hydroxychloroquine. I mean, this was coming for a long, long time. And Donald Trump is not happy about this. He was asked about this during one of his whatever the fuck he was doing at the White House the other day. And, of course, his response was naturally rambling and bullshit. He was just talking about how this is the same old crap. Oh, yeah, I know lots of people who have used it. Well, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that it works. That doesn't mean that it actually helps. At what point are we going to find out for certain what kind of money Donald Trump is collecting in exchange for pitching this fucking ludicrous snake oil that's supposed to work but doesn't work? And according to Donald Trump's own FDA, I love it. In the same White House event, he was asked and then kind of said something. As I said, he kind of said, well, I know some people who use it. I know people love it. And then he goes, maybe Alex Azar will say more about it. Alex, what do you think?
Take it away. Take it away, Alex. Go.
What's wrong with your people?
Yeah, well, see, Bob, Kamala Harris can investigate all of this.
Yes, you're right.
You know, we will get the answers. Right now, I don't think anybody's going to accomplish much of anything.
No.
The best thing we can do is let him keep burying himself.
Put
himself underwater.
And I don't know if you noticed that today's event with regard to whatever executive order that he signed that meant nothing to him or really means nothing in the long run. Because, by the way, the chokeholds, he said the chokeholds are only to be used in cases of the officer feeling as if his life is in danger.
Right, well, that's all he's got to say to justify it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a gigantic loophole. Anyone's going to say, well, yeah, my life was in danger. Of course, that's why I choked the guy. On top of all of that, during that event, there was no social distancing going on at all. I didn't see any masks. Everyone was just all crowded in together as if this thing is over, and it's not fucking over. I mean,
been a couple of weeks. It's been a couple of weeks since reporters have spotted those around Trump wearing masks. You remember for a very brief time, a week or two, we saw a lot of the people around him wearing masks.
Yeah.
That has completely come to a stop. That does not happen anymore. There is not only no social distancing, there's no masks, and that's not just in public. That's everywhere all the time. Stay tuned, see what happens.
That's right. Oh, and this was shocking to read about this. And by this point, we shouldn't be shocked by this kind of news. But when you finally see news stories come down showing the real impact of getting coronavirus, but not necessarily dying from it, the damage that can be done just by being infected. But
we're just learning. Permanent kidney damage.
Goes
on. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Hip-hop recording artist Scarface has opened up about his COVID recovery. So the 49-year-old musician revealed that he is still using a dialysis machine every day, explaining, quote, COVID attacked my lungs first, and then it attacked my kidneys and knocked them out. I got full lung recovery, but my kidneys never came back.
Yeah. Oh, and sometimes the lung damage can be permanent, and there are side effects of this disease. Damage from this disease we don't even know yet.
Yeah. So there are still people walking around going, Well, it's just like the flu. Well, if I get it, I get it. You know, I think the 60% of the people are losing all their money because of 1%. I think Bill Burr said that on the Joe Rogan show last week or something why should 60% of the people lose all their money and lose their jobs and everything like that just to save whatever it is, 2% of the national population? That is an insane way to think about it.
New polling, again, has 70-80% of Americans of all political stripes favoring masks, social distancing, not opening things up, better safe than sorry, still prioritize health over the economy. Even those who have much to lose or have lost much already still favor the safety measures to keep people from dying. The vast majority of America favors these safety measures. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is the other 30% of America or 40% of America out in public without the masks, without social distancing, in many places as if this had never happened.
That's right.
And that's very bad news. I learned a discomforting distinction today from reading the opinions of epidemiologists, and they seem to agree in this en masse that this isn't a second wave that we're experiencing. This is a spike in the first wave. And as it was explained to me, and this is how, you know, maybe it'll connect for more people. The second wave does not occur until the first wave has disappeared.
Right.
So, like, if you're standing on the beach, the wave comes in, it washes out, and the next thing you know, you're standing on wet sand.
Yeah.
And then another wave comes in and covers your ankles and goes back out, and you're standing on wet sand. So those are separate waves. This wave hasn't subsided yet, explained the epidemiologist, which means this is not a second wave. We're still in the first one. It's just spiking again.
Yeah. And you notice, too, that Dr. Fauci has had to do his own, basically his own PR, his own press releases, his own statements.
I love this, though. The CDC, Bob, had their first real news conference briefing in 3 months the other day.
Jesus Christ.
Because Trump finally stopped having his damn show, his damn TV show, and because they realized that if they didn't say these things, they weren't going to get said, and felt they had a moral obligation to speak up. So, yeah, Fauci is speaking more freely. The CDC is having its press briefings again, whether the White House wants it to or not.
Mm-hmm.
This is very encouraging from an agency that has cowered under Trump.
Yeah, very much so. And speaking of which, let's talk about the Justice Department here for a second, because the House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler has subpoenaed two Department of Justice whistleblowers, John Elias and Aaron Zelensky, not related to the other Zelensky, saying they are, quote, prepared to describe the unprecedented politicization.
In editing, we'll pick the right one and leave that one in.
Thank you. politicization of the department under President Trump and Attorney General William Barr. So there's going to actually be congressional testimony from these guys who worked on the Roger Stone case, and to find out now what was going on behind the scenes with Bill Barr wanting to kill that prosecution.
Well, we know where this is going to go, but we need to pursue it anyway. So we really, really know and know the details of it. Absolutely.
I'm
glad that's being pursued, and sunshine disinfects. So let's get it. Let's get it out there.
That's absolutely right. And you know what else? We're going to do this when we get into the postmortem show coming up here on our Patreon page. Trump's niece is writing a tell-all book about Trump that's going to be due out this summer. We're going to talk about some of the specific things that we're hearing about the book and the content of the book during the postmortem show coming up on our Patreon page. That's BobSuskaShow.com. Yep.
We're going to dish on palace intrigue.
That's right. I can't wait. Because this is this niece is the daughter of Fred Trump Jr. So the niece is Trump's late brother's daughter. This is the daughter of the brother who died of alcoholism. So that's where the family origins come from, the family connections there. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on the postmortem show. That's on our Patreon page. It's bonus content. When this music is done playing, we just keep right on talking. And that is what's called the Postmortem Show, going for about 20 minutes or so. By the way, if you want to sign up for $5 a month, you get two Postmortem Shows every month. You sign up at $10 a month, you not only get the two Postmortem Shows, but you also get the Friday After Party with me and Kimberly Johnson. So if you want the full scope of all four shows that we record every week, all four podcasts, you have to go to our Patreon page and sign up. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show, or just go to BobSeska.com and click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you for doing that. Meanwhile, Buzz Burbank News and Comment every Thursday. It's the best hour of news you're going to get all week. And it includes a teeny tiny little commentary in there by me as well. Yay. So that's BuzzBurbank.com, RealmNetwork.com, everywhere you get your podcasts. Speaking of which, make sure to support the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. That's at SexyLiberal.com and all the podcasts over there. 5-star rating and reviews for all of the podcasts on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, as well as Buzz Burbank News and Comment. And let's see what else. Jody Hamilton's From the Bunker. John Fugelsang's Sanity Cast, which... There's someone, John's guest last week on the Sanity Cast was this guy named Bob Seska. I don't know who he is, but sounds like a jag-off to me.
Sounds like an
a-hole. Yeah, I've heard he's an a-hole. Okay, that's it for the show. I'm going to destroy my computers. Well, I think I already have. See you on the Postmortem Show, folks. If not, we'll see you. Oh, by the way, tomorrow on the interview show, Steve Bannon from Matt O'Blog is going to be on tomorrow's interview show.
Wow.
We'll see you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
Patreon.
Okay, now more than ever, we're all thinking about our hygiene. We're washing our hands. We're sneezing into our arms. We're being careful. We're wearing masks. But what about your cell phone? It's a gigantic carrier of germs. Phones are a vector for disease, and we rarely ever clean them. We're constantly touching our phones with our hands and even pressing them to our faces. It's time to take cleaning your phone seriously. The Clean Phone Pro Sanitizer uses medically proven UV light technology to kill 99.99% of all bacteria that comes in contact with your phone. Better than wipes and safe for your device, the Clean Phone Pro gets every inch of your phone clean with 9 high-power UVC lights. There's a dedicated wireless charging pad on top of the chamber. You can be sanitizing other items while wirelessly charging your phone, or just use the Clean Phone Pro as your go-to charging station anytime. A fully removable top means easier fit for more items and larger items too. Go to thecleanphone.com today and get one for just $89 and free shipping when you use the code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word. And don't forget, they also sell N95 masks over there, so get yourself a bunch of masks at thecleanphone.com. If you're serious about hygiene, it's time to get serious about cleaning your phone. Go to thecleanphone.com and keep your phone truly clean. Remember to use the code SEXYLIBERAL for 2-day free shipping, and it's going to ship immediately. That's thecleanphone.com, thecleanphone.com.